Praise the Lord, church. Our text this morning will be found in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 11. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 11. Thus say the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doing. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatches them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at the end shall be a fool. Precious Lord, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for the doors of the church being open. We thank you for the snow falling heavily in this area of Ohio. Father, we pray right now that the word of God would go out and reach all those folks that couldn't come out for whatever reason. The snow just couldn't make it. Father, we just ask right now that you would just touch us with a word from God. These things we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to speak on a subject of who are the blessed of God. Who are the blessed of God? Talking this series on being blessed. And last week I just talked about why would Satan bless someone? We talk about satanic blessings. Why would Satan bless someone? Some wonder why Satan would bless anyone. Here's the answer. If Satan can get people to feel blessed without God, then they will come to believe that they don't need God. And who wins? Satan wins. What kind of blessing comes without faith in God, trusting God, serving God, praising God, worshiping God? What kind of blessing comes to a person who has no faith, no trust, no belief, no praise, and no worship? One kind of blessing? A bootleg, counterfeit, bogus, sham blessing. So the next time someone tells you, "Oh, I'm blessed, and I'm too blessed to be stressed," ask them, who blessed you? You have a fundamental biblical right to ask the person, where did that blessing come from? Who has blessed you? See, there's a lot of counterfeits out there. Oh, listen, you go on Facebook and I tell people, there was 13 apostles in the Bible. There's 10,000 on Facebook. All kind of prophets and prophetess, all kind of folks. And know what they're doing? Giving you a fake word. Because if they say they're an apostle and they say they're a prophet or a prophetess, then they know that office has been ceased. So nothing can come out of their mouths but false stuff. Oh, nobody want to hear me. Nobody want to say amen. Nobody want to hear me, because we like these folks. Let me tell you something. Satan offers us counterfeits. That's all he knows how to do.
And he's not going to say, well, you do this and I'm going to make you miserable. No. See, a blessing from God will never turn into misery. So if you say, well, this woman, God bless me with this woman, and 3 years later, you and that woman is in divorce court fighting and waging war and want to kill each other, guess what? God didn't bless you with her. If God bless you, say God bless you with a car and you can't pay the insurance on it and you can't keep it running, guess what? God didn't bless you with no car that you can't afford, that the repo man may come and get it at any time. See? Counterfeit. Satan's blessings always turn to mess. Listen, bless folks. You heard the text I read in Jeremiah. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Whose hope the Lord is. Listen, let me tell you something. All these folks being blessed, if their hope the Lord is not, you can rest assured. You can rest assured. Satan has blessed them. See, Satan, he masks his love with lust. Well, y'all didn't hear me. You know, you can start off loving somebody, but really, if that love didn't come from God, if it's not 1 Corinthians 13 love, if it's not the love of God, it's the lust of Satan. Why? Because he's a copycat imitator. Huh? Listen to Jeremiah. She said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Now watch this now. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spread out her roots by the river and shall not see when he come. Oh, he's coming. The man that trusts in the Lord is not going to be moved by the heat. He's not going to be moved by adversity and hard times. He's not going to move. He's not going to change when trouble come. And trouble coming. See, a lot of folks, I think about a snowy day. And folks got SUVs. They got all-wheel drive, four-wheel drive. And they scared to drive in the snow. How about that? You ever thought about that? They got all-wheel drive, on-demand drive, and all that. And when it snow, they scared to death. See, that's how faithless folk is. Oh, they say they got faith. Well, you'll find out when the heat come. You'll find out when the snow come. You'll find out when it gets rough what they have. Just keep watching them. And don't watch them when everything going good. Watch them at a funeral. Watch them when a loved one dies. Watch them when a kid get strung out on drugs or a husband or a wife cheats on them or commits adultery. Then you'll find out who they trust in. You'll find out who they trust in. Because see, Satan knows our hearts are weak. Our hearts are weak and our hearts demand to be filled with the love of God. But Satan, because he's a copycat, will fill our hearts with lust. Because he know what it is. Satan know this. He know this verse. Verse 9, Jeremiah 17:9. He knows this verse. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? The only person that can know it is the one who made it. The one who put heart in man. The one who put the love of God in man. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I search the heart. I can search it like no heart surgeon can. Oh, a heart surgeon can tell you, well, your arteries is clogged up and your aortic valve is not working properly, or you got congestive heart failure. Well, now they're talking about that kind of searching. The Lord, search the heart. I search the reins. I know all about the heart. And even to give every man according to his ways. Okay? See, you can erase your history, and you can erase all that stuff, all your data. You can reformat your computer, but you can't reformat your heart, because God searches the heart, the blessed man. The blessed man trusts in the Lord. The blessed man, when you talk to a blessed man and you read Proverbs 3:5 to a blessed man, then they get excited. And it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. The blessed man gets excited about that verse. That verse moves him in his heart because he's trusted the Lord in the good and in the bad. But the man who don't trust the Lord, you tell him, trust in the Lord. He says, I don't know. This is too big for the Lord. You know, and he may not say it like that, but by his reaction, he's going to be, but. You give him some scripture and you give him a way to deal with a situation. But ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield, their protection. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. How about that? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in preachers. That's what the man of God knows. To see the man that don't trust God, all you gotta do is listen to him. See, watch this now. Whoa, I'm in Isaiah 31:1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many and horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Hey, that's the non-believer. The man who don't trust the Lord, he don't seek the Lord. You don't see these movie stars, the entertainers, and all these folks. They don't seek the Lord. They take the blessings, but they don't know them blessings are coming from man. And they don't seek the Lord. You can go online and Google some of these actors, and Google LeBron James and his family in church. You won't see that. That's not coming up on Google. There are no pictures of him sitting in church with his kids. None. Some, here you go. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we, the people of God, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Let me rephrase that. Let me rephrase that. Some trust in the Democratic Party. Some trust in the Republican Party. But we will remember the name of the Lord. See, you start talking to saved folks and Christian folks, and you bring up Trump, and they get all excited. Oh, they get more excited about Trump. They get worked up about Trump. They gonna fire Trump and peace Trump. They all emotional Trump all in their head. Talk about Jesus to the same person. We shall overcome. That's not in the Bible. Jesus didn't write that song. He said, you are an overcomer. The moment you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you are an overcomer. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Some trust in the Democratic Party. Some trust in the Republicans. Know what? Know what the Word of God says? But we, the people that trust in the Lord, will remember the name of the Lord thy God. Come on now. Listen to this verse. Y'all know I like giving out verses, because I can stand on the verse. Here's the psalmist David in the wilderness, and he's talking about his relationship with God. Watch this now. He says in Psalm 62:5, he said, My soul waiteth upon, my soul wait thou only upon God. Come on. He said, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Okay? For my expectation is from him. Everything I expect to come my way come from him. See, help can come from man, But for the man of God, God has to enable that man to give you help. We're not thanking the man. We're thanking God for enabling the man. If a man has helped you, if you've been helped by a man or by a company or something like that, you better fall on your knees and say, thank you, God, for enabling that man or that woman or that company or to bless me. Come on. Watch it. Watch David, verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Come on, man. We moving all around. Safe folk moving all around. Moving all around. Church to church. Church to church. Trying to find a church that tell them what they want to hear. Oh, come on. You can't even reach them. You start preaching truth to them, they go find another church. They don't want to hear truth. And they just go one church, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Because they don't want to be truth. They don't want to hear truth. Listen, here's truth. Verse 7. Here's truth. Verse 7, 62. Psalm 62, verse 7. Here's truth. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him in all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. For us. God is a safe place for us. For the man and woman of God, God is the safest place we can be. In the arms of the Lord. In the arms of the Lord. The best blessed folks trust in God. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story about a good man lost and a bad man saved. Somebody said, well, that don't make sense. How is the good man lost and the bad man was saved? Let me read the story for you. It's found in Luke chapter 18. I'm gonna read you the story about a good man. He was a good man, but he was lost. And the bad man. Oh, the bad man got saved. Watch the story in 18. Luke 18, chapter 18, Luke, verse 9. And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. I got to read that again. Somebody missed it. He spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Huh? They trusted in themselves. Folks, you know, let me tell you something. The church is full of folks that trust in themselves. They come to church and they praise the Lord and they give their money but they don't trust God. Trust themselves. Now watch the story. A good man lost. He's a good man and he lost. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Huh? God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. Huh? Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. In the publican, the bad man saved. In the publican standing afar off would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote unto his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't care how much you got. I don't care how much stuff you got. I don't care how much God has given you or you, how big your house is, how many cars you got, how wonderful your kids is, how wonderful your husband is, your wife is, your job is. It doesn't matter. At some point, you have to get down on your knees. At some point, you got to get down on your knees and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What is mercy? What's he mean, be merciful to me? Don't give me what I deserve. I don't care how good you got it. I don't care how well you're doing. You better plead with God that he does not give you what you deserve. And you know what we all deserve? We all deserve a one-way ticket, first class for some of you, to the LOF, to the Lake of Fire, first class. You come up here and you sit with all the big shots. Some of you, first-class sinners. First-class sinners. Good man. This was a good man. He was a good businessman, highly respected in the community, and had no flaws. He was perfect. He had no flaws. He was the best man in his own estimation. He was the best man in his own estimation that he knew. He was the best man. The Pharisee was a righteous man. He was a generous man. He tied all that he had. He tied all that he had. Oh, I know some of you bootleg, sham, money grubbing preachers love that. Love that verse. Oh, he tied everything. We ought to tie. You got to tie. No, no, no. That ain't what it mean. He was just boasting. No. Now, he was a generous man. But what's the problem? What was his problem? What was his problem? The same problem some of you have. Same problem some of you have. He trusted in himself. Verse 9 says, he trusted in himself. He trusted in himself. He despised others. He did not acknowledge himself as a sinner. He did not cry to God for mercy. He didn't cry to God for mercy. He didn't cry to God for mercy. He didn't need no mercy. If anything, God needed his mercy. He was really a good man, but he was a bad man. Let me talk about this bad man, because this bad man got saved. This bad man got saved. Oh, there's some bad men out there that need to be saved. People say, well, you know, you can't save everybody. Well, listen, let me tell you something. There's some bad folks need to be saved. But you know what? You know what? I hear people all the time. Well, you know, what about the sodomites? What about the LGBTQ? What about the Hollywood crowd? Listen, they can be saved. But they got to see themselves as sinners. See, the problem with the LGBTQ community, they think they Christians. We're all right. You know, homosexuality is not a sin. You had the last president, President Obama, legalized it. There's nothing wrong with it. There's a problem. God said something wrong with it. Two big old greasy men kissing and hugging, sitting together in churches next to your kids. And you don't have no problem with it. Come on, hey, let me greasy brother playing the piano and singing in the choir, miming and praise dancing. And they think they're all right because church said they're all right. God say wrong. They're bad men. They're bad women. But God, who's rich in mercy. See the homosexual, the sodomite, the Hollywood crowd, the pastor, Keith Neal, and all of us need the same thing. All of us need the same thing. We all need what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3. He said, listen, Nicodemus, I don't care if you're a sodomite, I don't care if you're a murderer, a thief, a pedophile, a covetous man. You must be. You must be born again. That's the challenge. That's the call. And in the church, we can't tiptoe around it. We can't make unsaved folk comfortable in our presence. They got to be confronted. They got to be challenged and challenged with the word of God. Because the word of God, God is love. People say, well, you know, it's your presentation and you got methods and you got, you know, ain't no methods, ain't no presentations. We not no motivational speakers. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm a declarer of the word of God. And that don't save them. I can't sugar it down, water it down. I can't dress it all up. I can't camouflage it. It is what it is. Preach the word, Paul. Paul said to Timothy, listen, they're going to come in and they're going to look at you and they're going to say, well, you know, I brought my homosexual friend to church and please don't offend them. Please tiptoe through the tulips. Don't say nothing that's going to offend them. Listen, let me tell you something. And I was lost and I was out there ripping and running, trying to divorce my wife. I know the preacher got in my face. The preacher got in my face and he said, Keith Neal, what kind of man are you? You're a loser. You're a scumbag. You're no good. And I had to take a good look at myself. I had to take a real good look at myself. Well, we want to tiptoe around. Listen, let me tell you something. Why was this man saved? Same reason anybody is saved. And if anybody in here is saved, if anybody out there in radio land, internet land, if you're saved, here's how you got saved. There are no multiple ways. There are no methods. There's no luring or enticing. And you know what Paul said? I didn't come to you with enticing words or man's wisdom. I preach the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So many preachers ashamed of the gospel. They wanna save men on their own. You can't do that. You can't save men with your own stuff. Can't. I want to hear that. When you get to heaven, you ain't getting to heaven with man's wisdom. This man got saved like you got saved. He saw himself as a lost sinner. And if the Hollywood crowd and the LGB crowd and the fornicators and adulterers and the hustlers and the thugs, if they don't come to a point where they see themselves as sinners, they can't be saved. You can't be saved. That's the only requirement of salvation is that you're a sinner. And if you don't think you're a sinner, if you don't think you're lost, you can't be found. How you gonna find somebody that ain't lost? They don't put people's pictures on milk cartons just for fun. You know, you see this guy? Yeah. See him every day. Work at Speedway. You know, I see him every day. See, lost people on milk cartons, they can't be found. Oh, y'all don't get me. Y'all think I'm crazy. Y'all think I'm radical. Y'all think, oh, this dude is going overboard. Listen, he saw himself as a sinner. And here's the second point. Please hear me out. He saw he could do nothing to save himself. Oh, come on now. He saw himself as a sinner, and he realized he came to his senses, like the boy out in the wilderness and the prodigal son. He saw himself as a sinner, and he saw that he could do nothing to save himself. Watch the third thing. And he saw that there was a God of mercy. This just goes over and over in the Bible. Over and over in the Bible. You see the two thieves on the cross. Both of them mocking Jesus. Then one came to his senses. He realized he was a sinner. Realized he was lost. Realized he could do nothing to save himself. But realized that next to him, with a sign over his head, was a man that had all power. The crowd had already said he saved others. And he saw that there was a God of mercy. The prodigal son saw it. This bad man saw it. This publican saw it. The thief on the cross saw it. Can you see it? The Hollywood crowd don't see it. The LGBTQ people don't see it. They can be saved. Don't sit here. Well, you know, you homophobic. I ain't homophobic. But I know you can't allow the LGBTQ to come sit among your people for years and years and not confront them. Because see, they can't reproduce. They can only recruit. And if the word of God is not powerful enough and strong enough to drive them in, to draw them in, then you need to drive them out. No shepherd. You read Psalms 23. No shepherd. He's going to let a wolf come among his sheep and graze in the grass with them. No, he's going to take that staff, take that rod, and start beating on them. You preach it, and it ain't just for the LGBT. You preach it. You preach to them adulterers and them fornicators. You preach them out or preach them in. Let them go to another church. Let them go somewhere else where it's accepted. But you preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word in season and out of season. Be instant. Don't hold back. Jesus said, a little leaven. A couple of adulterers, a couple of fornicators running around in the church. Guess what? couple of LGB, couple of sodomites running around your church, guess what? Now you got to Johnny bar the door. You got to watch the door. You got to watch this. You got to watch that. Somebody got to watch their wife because you know this man over here fornicator and this man over here adulterer. Preach them devils out of your church or preach them into the kingdom. That's what you do. We just want to have big church. Oh, I gotta have a big church. I gotta have a full house. Everybody's welcome. Everybody ain't welcome. Who told you that? Stop reading them signs. Stop reading them signs. These broke churches. They had a pastor. Got to pay the pastor's salary, his insurance. You got to pay his health care. You got to give him a credit card. You got to give him a salary. Listen, everybody welcome in that kind of church, but everybody not welcome in God's church. See, churches, the ecclesia is churches for saved folks. And you can't sit up in here fornicating, sodomiting for a year, 2 years. Next thing you know, sodomite playing the organ, sodomite singing in the choir, sodomite directing the choir, fornicator counting money, adulterer over here, folks shacking up as your secretary, and you got your secretary shacking up with the deacon. See, you got a mess. You got a mess. He just cried to his God. He cried to his God, this bad man. He cried to his God. And he said, Lord God, have mercy on me. Oh, he was earnest. Oh, he was earnest. Oh, yeah, listen. You said, remember what Jeremiah 17:9? The Lord search the heart. God know when the devil been converted. Things change. Things change. The blessed folks, trust God. Blessed folks, trust God. Blessed folks, you tell me, you say, you know, Pastor, God has been good to me. I am blessed. Then I won't say, well, where's your faith at? Do you believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and that he lived a sinless life and that he was nailed to a cross for sins he never committed and he died and was buried and rose on the third day? Blessed folks believe that. Oh, come on now. Blessed folks believe that. So many folks running here, running there. Oh, they listening to Farrakhan. And, oh, Farrakhan say some good stuff. He say some good stuff about Jesus. Oh, one thing he won't say about Jesus. One thing he won't say about Jesus. He say some good stuff about Jesus. Oh, that's what the devil do. He say some good stuff about Jesus. But one thing Farrakhan, Louis Farrakhan, the Reverend Louis Farrakhan will not say is that Jesus is the Messiah. Oh, he's a good prophet. Oh, he's a good prophet. He's a good man. He like Elijah Muhammad. No. He like none other. Paul said, there's none other name under heaven whereby a man or a woman or a homosexual, or a drug addict, or a thief, or a covetous person can be saved. And that's the name of Jesus. Farrakhan don't believe in a Jesus that saves souls. He don't believe in a Jesus that died on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world. He don't believe that Jesus. No, he's a good prophet, good teacher. What Farrakhan is saying, he was a liar, he was a conniver, he was deceitful. Because he said, me and my Father are one. I am that bread that came down from heaven. John, the Gospel of John said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. Elijah Muhammad ain't coming again. None of the prophets are coming again. Jesus is coming again. And he's not coming. He's not coming. You're not spitting on him this time. You're not nailing him to a cross. He's not coming as a baby. He don't need Mary. When he come back, he don't need Mary and Joseph. Coming back. He coming back. Coming back. Blessed folks know that and believe that. And blessed folks are waiting for him. They can't wait till he come back. Blessed folks live by faith, because they know. Blessed folks know. Blessed folks know. Without faith. Blessed folks know. He said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's just not, you're just not, it's just, you're just too weak and unable. It cannot be done. Blessed folks, you got to, I'm blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Listen, let me tell you something. Where's your faith at, blessed folk? You got your BMW? You got your good job. You got your college degree. Where your faith at? Oh, God bless me. God bless my family. Everybody doing well. Where their faith at? When the last time they been in church? Don't want to do nothing. Ride around their blessings. Cruising around their blessings. Putting their blessings in the slot machines at the casinos. Oh, God bless me. I hit the number. God bless me. I went to the Hollywood casino and I hit big. Let me tell you something. Don't put that on God. Don't put that on God. You might put that, make sure you say, when you say that, say, well, the little G, God bless me. The little G, God bless me. Because the big God didn't bless you to put your money in slot machines. Let me say that again. And I know folks say, well, the big God didn't bless you to put your money in slot machines. Who blessed you? But God didn't. Because see, the word of God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe. Come on, preacher. Must believe what? That Jesus is the Messiah. That he is God, come down from heaven, took on the form of sinful man, and walked this earth in sinful flesh for 33 and a half years and sinned not once. You believe that? Oh, it get quiet. I believe God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. God is, see our faith is so shallow. It's so weak and shallow. And when good, sound, doctrinal, biblical preaching come, he preaching too hard. We know, I didn't come here to hear that. You know, strike up the band. You see, you want to come in and get entertained. Go home and get entertained. Turn on that big screen TV. You come to church, you want to hear the word of God. You want to hear some truth. You want to be empowered. See, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Listen to me. Without faith, you can't go to heaven and if you don't please God. You know, you're going to walk up and God, you stink like the world. You smell like the world. You look like the world. You dress like the world. You talk like the world. You're not pleasing to me. Faith gets you right. Faith will get you right. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe. What? Believe what? That he is. That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That he is what? I ain't got to keep going through this. He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. Without faith. Without faith. Listen, let me give you this verse. Let me give you this verse. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of the world have blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Let me tell you something. Satan will keep blessing you and blessing you and blessing you. And you got all these blessings, and that's what you got. You got no God. And when you stand before God, you stand before God, and you will say, well, God, you blessed me with all this stuff. God said, I ain't blessed you with none of that. See, many gonna come to the Lord saying, Lord, Lord, remember me. He said, I don't know you. I didn't bless you. I didn't give you none of that stuff. You had no trust in me. You had no faith in me. I didn't give you none of that. None of it. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. See? Oh man, what kind of God is that? Because a God of love. He's protecting those folks in heaven by not allowing these rascals and these godless, carnal individuals to come into his heaven. Why would he let the LGBTQ community into his heaven? Unsaved, unconverted, no trust in him, no faith in him. Come on, somebody talk to me. How? Can't. How can he let a fornicator and an adulterer come into his heaven? Can't. Heaven is a holy place. The Bible said, be you holy. Why? For I am holy. Listen, how's your trust? How's your faith? How's your trust? How's your faith? How's it? It's bad. Blessed folks not only have trust in God, blessed folks not only have faith in God, blessed folks serve God. They serve God. Blessed folks serve God. You tell me you blessed. Oh, I got this, I got that, I got this, I got it. Listen, you serving God? Are you serving God? Okay? Let me give you a verse. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Let me give you a verse. Here's Paul writing to the Corinthian church. Now remember, the Corinthian church was a hellish church, carnal church. I mean, they had everything wrong. Paul had to correct them. Now he's going to correct them here. He said, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. Huh? If you called to be a servant, serve God while you serve. If you called to be a slave, then serve God as a slave. Still give him praise. Still give him worship. Serve him. So we think serve. Well, I serve God. I work on the kitchen committee. Let me tell you, that ain't serving God. Okay? Art thou called to be a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So whether you bond or free, you're a servant. Serve him. Serve him wherever you go. Serve him wherever you go. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord. So I hear all these blessed folks. Oh, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. No serving. No serving. No serving. You know, a blessed person, I hear him talk all the time. Well, you know, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Talk to me about some word. Let's pray. Let's have a Bible study. Let's talk about the things of God. They ain't got no word. There's no depth. There's no depth at all to their faith, to their work of God. There's no depth at all. Let me tell you what Paul says. Paul says this to Timothy. I love this verse. Paul says this to Timothy. He said, Timothy, I want you to be great. You know, I want you to be great. Ain't nothing wrong with being great. I want to be great. I want to be a great preacher. I want to be the greatest preacher I can be. I want to be the greatest preacher I can be. There's nothing wrong with that. Paul says this to Timothy, though, and I thought this was interesting in light of what I'm studying. He said, if thou put the brother in remembrance of these things. What things, Paul? The things of God. John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8-9, John 14, John 3. The gospel message, the message of the cross, put the brother in remembrance of him. Watch this now. That thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Who don't want to be a good minister? And minister means a servant. A servant.
That's all you are, preacher. A servant. Listen. If thou put the brother in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Here's the word. Nourished up. Nourished up. Huh? Let me stop right there. Nourished up. Nourished up, huh? In the things of God. Nourished up in the word of God. Nourished up in prayer, in devotion, and in song, and praise, and adoration, and worship. Nourished up in them things. Huh? You had a little hard and long, find some folks nourished up. Folks don't want to get nourished. Folks, I have no idea. We had a golden corral in our area. I have no idea how it closed down. Because every time I went there, folks was getting nourished up. I think it might have closed down because certain folks are coming there just eating too much. We don't have that problem in the church. Folks ain't coming to church and getting nourished up. Paul says, nourish up how, Paul? Nourish up in the words of faith. Nourish up in the words of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Nourish up in the words of faith and of a good doctrine. Doctrine. Not entertainment, not showmanship, not miming and flag waving, all that foolishness that's going on in these religious entertainment centers called churches. Nourished up in the word of faith and of good doctrine. Good doctrine. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's how you get nourished up. You ain't get nourished up running around here, speaking in tongues and falling all out. You ain't nourished up. You acting up. You're fake, you're phony, and you know it. Nourish up. Nourish up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Such a minister of the gospel ought to be one, listen, farmed up. You got a farm, you got animals, you're going to feed them. People say farming is easy. No, farming is hard. You got to get out there, you got to feed the chickens. You got to feed the pigs. You got to feed the cows. You got to feed them. You got to nourish them up. Ain't nobody buying no skinny chickens. Skinny cows. You come to church and folks are just skinny. Spiritually, just spiritually skinny. Spiritually skinny. Listen. Paul said you got to be nourished up. Nourished up in the words of faith. What are you talking about? Let me give you a list. I think I got 9 written down. You want to be nourished up in knowing about the substitutionary death of Christ. Nourished up in knowing about the Trinity, eternal judgment, redemption, faith, the resurrection, repentance, justification, and sanctification. You got to know some of that stuff. Nobody should hit you with that. What is redemption? What is faith? What's the importance of the resurrection? Why do people need to repent? I don't know. See, you talk to the average Christian, they don't know nothing. They know all the songs by Kirk Franklin. And they ain't hopping around, but you ain't talking about, what are you doing about the substitutionary death of Jesus? Eternal judgment. Where's that found in the Bible? Great servants. Great servants make great Christians. And what's wrong with the church? We don't have no great servants. Here's a great servant. I'm in Matthew 20. And Jesus is talking to the disciples. And Zebedee's month, Zebedee, the wife of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her two boys. And James and John. She wanted James and John to sit on the right hand and on the left hand of God. She was all messed up. See, anytime women start talking to men about things of God, you can get messed up. Okay? See, when you're going to talk to God about the things of God, you better be nourished up. And here's what she said. Here's what Jesus said. He says in verse 26, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, they want to be great. And Jesus said, whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant or your minister. Okay? You want to be great? Be great as servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Man, you know, it's hard people understand. You want to be great? You be great as servant. Folks don't want to serve.
Oh, they don't want to serve. They'll run from the church. See, I just really believe that's why folks just run. They don't want to serve. Even, watch this now. Even as the Son of Man came. Here's Jesus coming. Here's Jesus coming. The Son of Man is coming from heaven. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life and to give his life a ransom unto many. How about that? How about that? How about that? What kind of servant are you? What kind of servant are you? Blessed. It don't serve. It don't make sense. It don't even add up. People, well, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Well, God's blessing me. No, little G, God's blessing you. Big G, God ain't blessing you because you don't have no trust in God, no faith in God. You don't serve God. You really don't believe God. And you run. And you tell everybody, God is blessing me. God is blessing me. No, God ain't. No, God ain't. Man is blessing you. Man is blessing you. Well, let me close. Let me close. I know I'm way over my time. But I had this. I had to share. And, you know, let's talk about people always talking about they're being blessed. You know, we all know LeBron is blessed. Like I said, Google search LeBron in church with his kids, his family. You never see that. You never see that. Okay? Tiger Woods is a Buddhist. He's a Buddhist. And he's a Buddhist, and he says he's blessed. Who bless? Buddhists don't bless. Nicki Minaj, booty shaking Nicki Minaj. She says she's blessed, got a song out. And it got a lot of biblical characters in it. Now I want to read it. I just want to read it. I'm going to read it. Because see, if Tiger Woods got blessed, if LeBron got blessed, think about it. If God blessed LeBron and LeBron, because he realized he was blessed, started serving God, guess what would happen to his empire? His Nike contract gone by the wayside. You can't get saved, LeBron. You work for Nike. Tiger Woods contract gone. You can't make me talking about Jesus. Nicki Minaj. Here's a song. I don't know the name of it. Some of y'all might. He says, now watch all the biblical references. And this woman is a devil. This woman is a devil. And she's blessed though in her own mind. I believe that life is a prize, but to live doesn't mean you're alive. Huh? But don't worry about me and who I fire. I get what I desire. It's my empire. And yes, I call the shots. I'm the empire. I sprinkle holy water upon the vampire. In this very moment, I'm king. In this moment, I slay Goliath with a sling. This very moment, I bring. But it put it on everything that I will retire with the ring. And I will retire with the crown. Yes, no, I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. Yes, clap for the heavyweight champion, me. But I couldn't do it all alone. We. Young Money raised me, grew up out of Basie. Southside, Jamaica, Queens is crazy, cause I'm still hood. Hollywood couldn't change me. It ain't go on and on and on. Huh? I'm not lucky, I'm blessed. Blessed by who? Who? Why would God bless Nicki Minaj? Somebody had to answer that question. Nicki Minaj will have to answer that question. Because if God blessed her, she sure making a mess of what he blessed her with. Let's close. Precious Lord, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the church of God being open on this blistery snow-filled day in northern Ohio. We ask right now that you would just give traveling mercy to all those who tracked out, who tried to make it to different churches in this area. And we just pray right now, Father God, that those who say they're blessed realize that all and every good and perfect gift come from heaven. So if you blessed, then fall down on your knees today and ask God to give you mercy. Give you the mercy that he gave the publican who he met at the synagogue. Father God, thank you for everything you do in Jesus' name.
Amen.